Just a handful of verses from Philippians chapter 2. The words are on the screen, Philippians 2, verses 1 to 5. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Amazing statement. Well, we're thinking about fellowship over these weeks of the summer. And let me just say, this is where we are going. A couple of weeks ago, James spoke about relationship, which is the foundation of our fellowship. This morning I want to think about partnership, which it describes there as the method. Then next week, companionship. No, that was the means. Then this is the method. And then stewardship, which is the overflow. So this week we're thinking about partnership and the means of our fellowship. Now you might think, I know everything I need to know about fellowship. I've been a Christian now for... I think you might be surprised at some of the things that emerge out of this particular series. Let me remind you that the fundamental meaning of fellowship is having a share in, partnership, having a common share. I want to talk about how fellowship works, and especially today thinking about fellowship as partnership. And I want to say two things this morning. I'm not going to be quite as long as I normally am, because we've been leaving a bit more space for sharing. I want to say two things. First of all, it's about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And the second thing, it's about a mutual commitment to make the things of the kingdom happen. What's fellowship in terms of partnership? It's about fellowship in the Holy Spirit. I'll be explaining a bit about that. And then out of that partnership is a mutual commitment to make the things of the kingdom happen. In terms of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, when they talked about fellowship, they never talked in the ways that we do sometimes, like secular friendship. For them, fellowship was always a spiritual foundation. There wasn't any fellowship without God. We might think that having common interests or common likes or dislikes or similar personalities or human opinions or purely physical ties, all of those are about humanity and human interaction. It's not about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So this morning I want us to think about what it means to share in Christ in fellowship, and then to share in the things that Jesus is doing. You see, it's not just what Jesus has done. He's done plenty in the past. It's what he is doing. And our fellowship is about partnering Jesus in what he's doing today. There's a verse that I've spoken on quite a few times in different places, which is the last verse in John's Gospel. It's a great little verse, and it says, there are many other things that Jesus did, and if they're all recorded, all the libraries of the world wouldn't be able to fill. You know what I'm trying to say. And I often make the point, we emphasize that word did. There's many things that Jesus did. Well, thank God for all that he's done. But our fellowship this morning is about partnering with Jesus in what he is doing and what he wants to do. So these two things then. Fellowship in the Holy Spirit and a mutual commitment to be involved with the things of the kingdom. Let's think first of all about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. There's a verse that we started our service with today from 2 Corinthians 13. It's the last verse in that epistle. And there's a clause in it which says, fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But actually, it mentions every verse in the Trinity, every person of the Trinity. Here's the verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. But what does that mean? What does this verse actually mean? You see, this is God's initiative. There's our response, but this is about God's initiative. You see, it is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that Jesus is sharing his grace with us. It's coming from him towards us. There's a response from us, but initially it's always God's initiative. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus. And then it's the love of God. This isn't our love for God, that's merely response. This is God's powerful, unlimited love for us. And then it's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. This means that the Spirit is energizing our fellowship. If there were no Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be having any fellowship. But because there is a Holy Spirit, it means that undergirding us, surrounding us, on top of us, it's enabling us to have real fellowship in God. Now, something similar to this is conveyed in the verse that I read to you at the beginning from Philippians 2. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, it follows that all these aspects of fellowship are dependent upon God himself. You see, we are not just a collection of people who just like each other. And we've all joined this particular club that we call Pearly Baptist Church. It's because we have common interests that we've decided to come together. The world can mimic that all over the place. But instead, we are people who are united because we are possessed by God himself. We are gripped by the grace of Jesus. We are overwhelmed by the love of God. We are infused with the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. This is the only grounds of our partnership. Now, I'm getting to that age where I could join the Bowls Club. And in the Bowls Club, there might be lots of nice people. Lots of nice, pearly people. And I might think, that's a great place to be. Real friendship there. Enjoy our bowls together. I'm not joining the bowls club, by the way, just in case you think I am, but no. You can join any old club and you can find lots of nice friends and nice people. That's a million miles away from what we're talking about here. We're talking about something that only God can bring about, and the unique privilege for us as Christians. Because we are in the grace of Jesus, we are overwhelmed by the love of God, and we're sharing in something tangible, which is fellowship in the Holy Spirit. It's unique. Need to give thanks to God for it. And you find it, don't you? You find it with people who you know very little about, but you just meet them. I was just being told at the door by one of our older members, Hugh Phillips. And he says, you know, I was on a boat going across to somewhere or other. And he said, I met these people. And he said, we just started to chat. And we had amazing fellowship in Jesus. And I said, never seen them ever again in my life. That happens. It happens because there's something tangible about this fellowship in the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. You need to give thanks to God for it. It's from him. But unfortunately, that's where most of us stay. Because it's so nice. So nice to have good Christian friends and to know the Lord Jesus and to fellowship together. It's so nice. It is. It's good. It's wonderful. It's a great blessing. And that's why there's another aspect to this partnership. And that is to have a mutual commitment in proclaiming the things of the kingdom. As I said at the first service, and I mean it, this is what gets me up in the morning. It's a good 40 years ago or more since Jesus started to draw me to himself. And I think I soon grasped the fact that he wasn't only drawing me to himself to know him, but he was actually saying, there are things that we can do together. There are things of the kingdom that we can do together. Now, some of us here might want David Cameron's job, although I doubt it. Although people do seek a lot of political power, or perhaps the top rung in a business, because we think that's going to be exciting. Those things are quite exciting. It cannot be compared with sharing in the things of the kingdom. You know, God put something into us when he saved us, and he said, you're going to be on a journey now, and you're going to be doing things that don't just affect this life, it affects eternity, and you're going to be part of it. You know, at times we can have really nice holidays. I had a really nice holiday with my wife this year. We've been planning it a few years, went to Canada, had a really great time. It was wonderful. Got the photographs. But actually, when I die, the photographs will perish and it's all gone. It's been nice. Or sometimes we've got really good friends, or we might have been a solid family, and we might have plenty of money in our pockets. But if all these things are not infused with the Spirit of God, then they are just this life. They will perish. They are good at the time, but they don't have any ongoing value. But you see, this word partnership, it's about investing yourself with Jesus in the things of his kingdom. There is nothing like it. And I trust to my dying breath that this will be my heart call. Age is not a problem. There are different things, there are different phases that we can be involved in. I said to Wendy years ago, you know, when I get too old to do very much, I'll just go to the prayer meeting every day. Don't know whether I will, but you see, I might not have the energy to do very much, but I might be able to be with others. Others who share a heart for his kingdom to come. That's what this fellowship's about in terms of partnership. It's about being involved in the things that Jesus is interested in. And so because he's interested in them, he wants to talk to you about it. Because he's interested in these things. His heart's burning with them. And you see, as we get into the burning heart of Jesus, our heart starts to burn as well with the same things. You know, I'm told from time to time that our church is becoming a bit of a model for other churches in Croydon. I don't get carried away with that. We're doing some things that some people think is quite good. Thank God for all of that. But if we catch a vision of what I'm talking about this morning, we won't just be the talk of Croydon, we'll be the talk of the nation. Not that we want to be. I'm not into all that sort of stuff. But I do want to burn with the things that he's burning about. Because you see, now that we have been united with him in fellowship, we are now sharing in partnership as well in the things that cause him to be happy. But this is centered in the Word of God, because there's a verse there in Philippians 1:5. And it says, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, See, Paul is writing to the Philippians and he's saying, when you heard the word of God, you received it as the word of God. And as a result of that, you are now participating, fellowshipping in the gospel. It came as a result of the word of God. They heard the word of God. They understood the word of God. And as a result of that, it meant now they're participating in something far bigger than they ever imagined. You know, unfortunately, in some churches and in some Christians, there's a sort of feel-good Christianity. It's a sort of, you know, as long as I feel good, then I'll just take a little bit of that and I'll enjoy it. And something of the centrality of the Word of God, which causes us to know the mind of God, becomes a very second best. Because we're misinterpreting what Christianity is about, and it's what makes me feel good. Or, you know, maybe people can help me in different ways and I can feel good. Well, it might be that you'll never feel good for the rest of your life, but you'll be doing the things of the kingdom. Because you'll be centering yourselves in the things that God's got a heart for. Excuse my passion this morning. I don't want to be offensive in my passion. I do feel this because I think it's so exciting. I think it does get you up in the morning. Because there are so many things that we can be enjoying with Him. So two things to say. How do we do this? The first is to realize that sharing in the things of the kingdom is a great privilege. I've touched on this, but if we want to do anything of lasting value, then we need to get involved in God's kingdom. It's a huge privilege. Do you know, if you've ever led anybody to Christ, and maybe a lot of us haven't, if you've had the joy of actually helping somebody to put their trust in Jesus, and that person has followed the Lord during their days, eventually when you go to heaven, you will see that person with yourself. Because it's been of eternal value. And you had a hand in it. But if you can just show your holiday photographs, then it's not so good, is it? To have a heart to see people converted to Christ, to serve others in the name of Jesus, to be prayerful for kingdom extension, well, that's a different matter. And then secondly, this is best done in teams. God knows that we find it quite hard to do things on our own. There aren't many of us, percentage-wise, who are self-starters. A self-starter is someone who gets an idea in their head and they've got enough energy and confidence to make it happen. But percentage-wise, there aren't many of us who are self-starters. Most of us need other people around us. And we need to feel as though, well, if you'll do that, I can be alongside you in doing that. And we feel that will help us with the confidence levels. That's how God intended it. God intended that we would be in teams. He sent his disciples out two by two. Leadership is never singular in the Bible. It's always plural. God intended us to be in teams together. I'm thinking of my friend Geraldine at the moment. And Geraldine was in the park one day in her area. Am I still all right? Can you hear me? Yeah. In her area. And she noticed that there were some homeless men on the bench. And so she wondered what she might do about this because she's got a heart for the poor, Geraldine has. And then she has a friend in the church who has a similar heart for the poor, and they were talking about these men in the park just really wasting their lives. And so they decided that on a Friday they would make some sandwiches and they would give it to these people. Spend some time with them, get to know them, give them some sandwiches. Well, of course, now it has grown into something that crosses all of the churches in that part of the country. They needed two of them together. Don't know whether Geraldine would have done it on her own. Maybe she would, I don't know. But the two together helped. They were praying together about it. Lord, what can we do? As a result of that, well, we'll just take them some sandwiches on a Friday. It's not hard to make sandwiches. Did you know that? It's not hard to make sandwiches. It might be harder to go up to homeless men you don't know. But you see, it's what your heart's pulsating with. Whatever it might be, it's what your heart's pulsating with. And what God puts in your heart. And I'm just longing for more and more people to just grasp, you know, the threes and fours of you, who catch the vision for whatever it might be. I'm sure it will fit into the overall vision of our church somewhere. Clearly there's lots of vision coming from the front and the leadership and others. But if there's vision rising in you, and you think, I can do that alongside my friends here, that's the partnership of the kingdom. Back in the first church, I don't know whether this was my idea or somebody else's, but we used to do some door-to-door visiting on a Monday evening. I think eventually there was only four of us. We might have started with 10, but eventually only four of us. And every Monday evening we used to meet for prayer. Never wanted to do it, but often the prayer helps to get you going. And then we would target a number of houses on this estate, and we worked our way through that estate on the Monday evenings. Don't know how well we would have done if we were on our own, but we had a group of people that had some heart for it. Interesting, somebody at the door, when I gave that story at the first service, this girl just new to our church, she said, do you still do door-to-door visiting? So I said, well, there's nothing regular, but it does happen. So I said, email me. Now, actually, we've just reshaped our Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. You'll hear some information in due time. And part of it is about releasing ministerial energy. And I'm going to use that third Sunday of the month to do door-to-door visiting. Just on my own. I'll be introducing myself and the church. See what that gets to. Because I believe in it. A lot of people don't believe in it, and that's fine. But what do you believe in? And whatever you believe in, go and do it. Because that's what God's put on your heart to do. And if there's a little army of us that can get together on door-to-door visiting, so the better. But if that's not the case, then for the next little while, I'll commit myself to doing that. Because I believe we'll unearth one person here and one person there who we would not find unless we did that. You know, at the first service, somebody gave a testimony, and they said that there's four people at their work who are Christians, and they work with 40 people altogether. And that one of the person who's a Christian was having a meal with somebody else from the work who isn't a Christian. And the person said to them, can I come to your church? And he said, I thought we were the ones that's supposed to be inviting them to church. So there's this lady saying, can I come to your church? Well, of course she can. Oh, dear God. It's about fellowship in the Holy Spirit. And then it's about partnering with Jesus in what he's trying to do. Just got one little thing to say in closing. I said I wasn't going to talk very long, sorry. But we've still got a bit of time. Do you know that story in the Bible where Peter's been fishing all night and he hasn't caught anything? And so Jesus said, well, just go and put your nets in again and just go and do that. So Peter probably reluctantly decides that he would do that. And then in verse 7 and verse 10 of Luke chapter 5 is a fellowship word. It's the word, it's translated partners, but it's a fellowship word. It means fellowship. Because what happened was he put the nets out into the water. And to his great surprise, all these fish started coming. He couldn't cope. So he went and got his partners to help him in order to catch the fish. He fellowshipped with them. Now, of course, we can fellowship in our worship this morning, and this is good. Never stop doing that. It's important. It's rung number one. It's always going to be on God's agenda. But you see, there's another aspect of partnership, and it's to be in partners with people in the kingdom of God. So let's close our eyes, shall we? We'll just be quiet for a good minute or so. And Peter can come back and play some music. And in a moment or two, we'll just begin to sing a final hymn together. It's a kingdom hymn. And we'll also take up our offering at that point. But let's not just rush past this moment here. Let's stay in with the Lord. What's he putting into your heart? Some things that you thought in the past, you know, I could do that for Jesus. But there hasn't been the follow through for a variety of reasons. But, you know, it's coming to the surface again this morning. I can do that. We'll grasp it. Don't let it go. Ask for the help of somebody else. Well, let's trust that what's happening in this room today will go from here to the nations.